Grr. It's the news, according to me. Well, good Friday morning. It is Friday morning. Financial Friday, we're going to call it. I think you're either that or Freaky Friday. I'm not sure which. Freaky Financial Faux Pas Friday. Something, I don't know. We'll come up with a name. But I think for the most part, we're going to be calling this Financial Friday is what we're going to be calling it. It is, what time is it here? It is 11:12 Eastern Standard Time. I am in the Central Time Zone, so it is 10:12 here. almost 10:13, I guess. 2025, December 12th. The month is almost half over here, which means that the year is almost approaching. The end of the year is rapidly approaching. See how things go here. We have lots of things to talk about today. I want to talk about some financial stuff. I'm going to kind of settle into some topics for different days. I think we're going to kind of try to stay as true to that as possible. Yesterday was kind of a day of tech, talking about AI and some other things. We'll be talking about some other technologies and stuff that's out there. In the future, have some ideas about that kind of thing. But for now, we're going to talk about finances and mostly just a general overview of the financial situation of our country, as well as what I kind of see happening in the nation, in the world financially, and what's happening. Of course, the banking system is heavily involved. So if I disappear before a Friday, if I vanish from the earth on a Thursday night before my Friday broadcast podcast, you'll know that the banks were involved. I have, by the way, there's a lot of conspiracy theories about that. There's another channel I'm getting ready to start. I'm going to launch it here in the beginning of the year, probably sometime in January. It's just going to be called The Conspiracy. And I finally kind of got it put together to where I know where I can get my, I have my resources now where I can actually do it. It's probably going to be a daily show, but it's only going to be about 5 minutes long. It'll be a quick little thing on conspiracies, little conspiracy stories from the past, even you know, going back into ancient times and some of the things that have happened. And a lot of those things will have certain themes, certain things involved. Especially with the financial system, it's kind of a big part of that. And there's a lot of conspiracy theories about that, because there have been a lot of conspiracies involving the, more than theories, there are actual facts that have happened, things that have taken place. So we'll talk about some of those things and go on from there. But the in the meantime, we have a few things to talk about today. One is what's in my cup. This is it's kind of a mystery today. I went to a breakfast. It's a breakfast and brunch club. I think it's called Bessette's or Bessay. Can't remember what the name of it was. It was something to that effect. I might even have the receipt here with me. If I have the receipt on me, no, I don't have the receipt on me. Didn't do that. Left somewhere else. I don't know how to do that. It's pretty good. It had the Big Bang, which is kind of like the Grand Slam. Denny's only better. Way too much food. Way too many potatoes.
I found this on the web.
Well, thank you. Way too many potatoes, but the potatoes were they weren't like hash browns. I was kind of expecting, you know, the typical chopped up, you know, store style, you know, Gordon food potatoes. These were not. These were potatoes that they sliced up and baked. Very good potatoes. I could have just eaten the potatoes. Unfortunately, it also came with two scrambled eggs, bacon, huge, obviously locally purchased farm-to-table type. So it's not your run-of-the-mill sausage links, two of them. Huge. And then there were the pancakes, the two huge pancakes, very, very good pancakes, by the way. And I have to say, it was a little bit much, I have to say. Just saying, it was a little bit much. I don't know how else to say it. I only ate one of the small potatoes. There was probably three full-size, now they weren't huge potatoes, but they were three full-size potatoes, you know, cut up. and baked in some kind of a seasoning that was very good. It wasn't a very, it wasn't a spicy thing or anything. It was just very, very good flavor. It had really a good flavor. But I just couldn't eat them all. If I'd have been driving, I probably would have boxed them up and brought them with me. I was walking. I didn't want to carry stuff around like that. But maybe I should have. I wouldn't have to walk that far. But it was only 6 degrees out here this morning when I was out walking around. I think it made it up to 9 degrees by the time I actually came back. Supposed to get up to a whopping 15 or something today here, 12 or 13, 15 degrees here in Madison, Wisconsin. It is obviously a very interesting town. It's a very, very much a college town. Madison is known as the blue mecca within the, it's a very idealistic place, very artsy. It's the capital of Wisconsin, by the way. A lot of very interesting people here. So walking down the street, and this one guy who's wearing a coat and hat, and you would have thought you were in Russia the way he was dressed. Seriously. I think maybe he's been there, but whatever it is, maybe he hasn't. That's why he's a big fan. He's definitely wearing the garb. And it's interesting how people in a town like this, with all the ideology and all their sanctimonious self-righteousness, I'm not saying everybody's that way, but there's the younger crowd is definitely that way, and it's interesting walking down the street and how no one will match your eyes, no one will say hello to you, good morning to you, nobody did. The only person who did was a guy about my age who was kind of dressed like me. He was wearing sweats and had a hat on, and it was kind of just trying out for a walk. And he actually looked over at me and nodded his head. That's the only person that made any kind of acknowledgement that I existed in the town. Everyone else did not make eye contact with me. It's very interesting how that happens in certain cities. Now, there's other towns I've been to, especially places in the Deep South. Now, of course, probably if there was a homeless person out walking around today, which there won't be because it's too cold out there. But any panhandlers out there, they'll look. If you look at them, well, they'll definitely make eye contact with you. And as soon as you do, they want your $20. But that's why I don't carry cash. So then they'll ask for the cash. Do you have a cash app? So, well, if you got an iPhone, if you got a phone, sorry. I mean, we're not playing this game. You're doing fine if you got a phone. And I'm certainly not sending you a cash app. There's a guy online, speaking of financial stuff. There's this guy online. I can't remember what his name is. Maybe I can find it here real quickly while we're messing around. I have, this dinner place I went to, I don't want to talk about that. This dinner place I went to, or breakfast place I went to, actually has, they have a chai there. It's basically an Oregon chai, but it's about 50% cream. And they froth it up a little bit, but it's very, very rich, extremely rich cream. It's so creamy that you can't hardly even, you almost can't tell. It's got the Oregon, kind of an aftertaste to the Oregon chai there, but that's about all you can tell from it. I do want to get into one particular news item before I move too far into this, simply because it seems like it's worth talking about, and I'm kind of appalled. I've talked about Dan Crenshaw before. We'll talk about that in a minute. But I also want to finish up this story about this other thing. I'm kind of looking through the history on my stuff here. Who this guy is? Who is this guy? Here we go. Nope, that's not him either. I don't see it here anywhere. Who is this guy? It's got to be here. It can't be too far back. It's that long ago that I watched it. He's a financial kid. Here he is. Caleb Hammer. Caleb Hammer. We'll talk about him in a little bit. Interesting show, interesting fella, interesting issues with that guy. Dan Crenshaw, we'll talk a little bit about that as well. And we got this chai, so I brought this chai back with me. I didn't make my own. It's kind of gotten cooled off now. It's not, I wouldn't say it's hot at all. My backup cup or my backup thermos is a tea, sweet tea that I brought from home. It's in my little thermos here, which is very good. It's very good stuff. Got it in there. Yesterday I had I drank a cup of it on the way to Chicago. Got on a plane, and here I am in Madison, Wisconsin. Now today I will end up tonight, or I should say tonight, late tonight. I will end up in St. Louis, Missouri, over the weekend here. I will also end up, I think, on all day on Sunday. I'm going to end up being in Cincinnati, Ohio. So theoretically, I may have the show on Monday morning from Chicago. However, I don't think that's going to happen. I think I'm going to be home on Monday morning to do the show. So Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And then Thursday, there will not be a show. What day is that? That's, should pull up the calendar and make sure I look at this correctly. The Thursday morning next week, no, that's not Christmas. The following one is Christmas Day. I will probably be, looks like I will be in Kalamazoo on Christmas Day. I think that the wife and the dogs and everything are going to be up there, I think, at some point. I'm not sure how that's going to work out too well yet, but we'll see how that works. So Monday, which is the beginning of Hanukkah, if you want to call it that, Hanukkah, starts on Monday, the 15th. So 15th, 16th, 17th, and then the 18th, I will not be, I probably will not be a show that morning. It's a very busy day for me. I have to get up about 4 a.m. and get out the door. So unless I do one Wednesday evening that kind of rolls in, that I post on Thursday morning. Friday morning, same thing. Next week, I'm not sure about that either. Okay, now that's all the business. Oh, there's one other business thing I want to get out of the way real quick. We have a way to call into the show. You can let me know what you think about what I think. This is a show about my opinions. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a financial counselor. And I'm not a brain surgeon, but I have I do have a hobby on the side, or I do some things. I have, an opinion, and I'd like to know what your opinion is of my opinion, or just what your opinion is. I don't care if it's about my opinion or not, but I think that's kind of one-sided of you. The point being, you can call 812-379-8778. Or if you don't have an international calling plan and you want to call me from another country, you can go to google.com/voice and you can type in that number and you can leave a message or a text, ask me a question or leave a comment. And I will be happy to either respond to you directly or to post it on the show. And I might bring up some things that are, I might actually read your text, or I might play your audio, or maybe not. Maybe I won't. Maybe I'll just respond, or maybe it's just a comment or something that you want to hear me talk about. That's fine too. That's there you go. So there, that's all it is. That's all there is about that. The onward and upward. We have to talk about some financial things. Where do I see the economy going? I think that's probably one of the questions. I think that it's all burning in your mind is what does he think about it? What does Kevin think about the economy? Here's what I see happening. I think that the year ahead is going to see some turmoil, and of course the left is going to blow up everything. That they're going to just amplify anything that happens with anything in the economy, any kind of roughness that we go through. There are going to be some ripples. I kind of equate this to an airplane on a trip. You take off, you're rolling down the runway. Things may be a little bumpy. Things may be a little bit noisy. You kind of get off the ground and it's a little bit tense. There's some uncertainty among some. I would be already falling asleep before we even got off the ground, probably. Once you get in the air and you're kind of looking around, you can visually see things. You get up. As you're climbing up, typically you're climbing up through some weather, you're climbing up through some different temperature gradients, all kinds of things. You're going to experience a little turbulence in the first, 5 to 10,000 feet, typically. And I think that's where we kind of are with this particular launch of this particular administration and the things that they're doing and what Bessette is doing and some of the other things. However, the things that I see them putting in place now, there are some things that have been put in place in the big bill that they passed that, in my opinion, are going to have huge ramifications with regard to the future generations that we see, the next generation, kids that are born in, you know, that had been born in the last 5 years. This is huge. Some big stuff is coming. And I think it's amazing. Some of the things are going on. Now, there's also some things for small businesses in this bill. There are some things for just average, everyday middle-class individuals. The Democrats are seething at some of the things that are in this bill because they know that if it's successful, they will look really bad. Of course, they're going to jump on board with everything. It's kind of like the whole thing with Tim Walz up in Minnesota. You know, he start talking about the fraud and everything there. Well, I'm going after these people. I'm arresting them. I'm the one arresting them. No, you're not. You're not the one arresting them at all. You were covering this whole thing up the whole time. This stuff was all going on under your watch. You were running for vice president. And you didn't say anything about it. You're trying to hide it. And let me be clear. When there are billions of dollars involved in fraud in a particular region, in a particular group of individuals, people, you can bet your little toes that there's kickbacks coming back somehow to someone in that organization. Now, the Democrats are especially good at this, but there are ways that politicians structure themselves so that the campaign and the persona that they put out front is one thing. It's the one that's the person who runs, the person who's up front, the person who's out front that they see. That's an entity, almost a caricature of what their persona. Much like Mitch McConnell isn't. Mitch McConnell's not doing anything. He's a shell of a man, unfortunately. And they're just propping him up, literally, to fill his seat. He's a brand. He's an empty suit just to fill a seat. And it's pathetic. It's absolutely pathetic. It's terrible. And in the meantime, he doesn't have a voice. Doesn't have any kind of influence. There's nothing going on there. And we have a couple other things that are going on. I had to write something down there. So that's what this whole political game is about. Like people with Tim Walz and that kind of thing. So there's money coming back. So all around them, around that persona, that's one thing. That's what they put out front. That's what the media talks to. That's what the people see in general. That's what the marketing firms promote. In reality, behind the scenes, there are all kinds of other people that he's connected to. And it's those people who are getting the kickbacks and making sure it funnels back into his quality of life, his ability to gain power, to push people around. That's really what it's about. It's about the power and the money. Of course, in their opinion, with the money and the importance and the job, they think that they're so important that they can't relate to the little guy. Which brings me to talking about Dan Crenshaw. For those of you who don't know or haven't heard yet, there is a major thing. For those of you who don't know who Sean Ryan is, Sean Ryan is a former Navy SEAL. I think he was a Navy SEAL. Special Forces guy. Got saved. He's not shy about talking about his faith. I would say he's a very young Christian kind of. He's on the path, but he's very young in his faith, very rough around the edges. I would say kind of more like a Peter type person. He has a podcast that's very, very popular. He's been on Joe Rogan. He actually had Joe Rogan on his podcast, I believe. I'm not sure how it was. It was one way or the other. Talked to Joe Rogan and it's, who by the way, is I think probably the number one podcaster in the U.S. right now. I think, I'm not sure, maybe worldwide. I'm not sure. He very popular podcaster. If you haven't heard of him, he so Joe Rogan had him on, and he's just a very straightforward, straight shooter guy. He's interviewed some people and asked him some questions, and there's some questions he hasn't asked. He's been under some criticism because he's kind of let some things slide. That's his show. He can ask whatever he wants. I really don't want to criticize somebody for not asking the question I would have asked them. It's just there are times that when that does happen, they're like Jake Tapper will just let something go, won't drill down on somebody. But that's as a journalist, he lifts himself up as being a voice for the people. He's out there doing service to the people. He's not doing that. He's doing service to himself. A person with a podcast is a very different story. This is his show. He's not out there trying to pretend like he's, you know, it's just he can ask whatever questions he wants to. It's just that he can take that wherever he wants. Just much like Tucker Carlson, I really don't care whether he talks to Nick Fuentes or not. I don't care. I think all the hype is, I think people are probably more people are listening to Nick Fuentes now than they were before all the hype. You know, if Tucker was just interviewed him and it would have been done and then just nobody would have said anything, okay, whatever. I think that would have been it. It would have been done. But now it just keeps coming up. So now everybody's getting on the game. I think even Steven Crowder now has interviewed the guy. Maybe I don't. Maybe, I saw a little thing where he might have interviewed him. I didn't even look at it. I have no interest in it. I've heard the guy talk. Look, the guy again. Like he's a straight shooter, but Nick is a sensationalist who sets things up. He will say things very careful. He's a very brilliant individual in terms of his mental thinking ability and his on his toes. He's been asked some questions, and he was on Piers Morgan. And Pierce asked him some questions, and he was going back and forth, and he said some things, and then he led Pierce into this thing where he thought he was talking about something else, and he said, oh, I guess that's... He caught him in this idea that he jumped to conclusions, jumped to assumptions about what he was saying, and he did it two or three times to Pierce Morgan. It's like swatting a fly for this guy. I'm not even sure Pierce caught it. And I think that's where Nick, I think, wins over some of his audience is his ability to do that kind of thing. He'll make an outlandish statement and then juxtaposition that with another, you know, with what your assumption is of that statement. And it's he's very good at it. I haven't heard the guy very much. I've never heard his show, but I've just heard, you know, snippets of different things that he said in different situations he's been in where he's made some comments. I don't know anything about the guy. I don't want to talk more about it than that. However, getting on more to this whole thing with Sean Ryan and Dan Crenshaw. Dan Crenshaw, I have said for a long time on my podcast here.
I found this on the web.
No, go away. I don't know why my watch seems to think I keep asking it questions. Dan Crenshaw is, in my opinion, hope he doesn't sue me for this. In my opinion, he is a rhino. He is an individual who is part of the establishment. He has been all in it for himself. And everybody talks about Nancy Pelosi and all the money she's made with insider trading. Dan Crenshaw now, I think, is worth $30 million. Which, by the way, is what Ilhan Omar is worth. He has access to classified information, all kinds of litigation, all kinds of things that are going on within the Congress, government contracts, that kind of thing. And he's made all this money in trading. One would say that he has insider information and that he is potentially, maybe there needs to be an investigation here. And Sean has brought this up. I have brought it up. I don't know that I've said anything different than anything I think Sean has said, really. But because Sean has a much big larger platform, well now Dan Crenshaw, a representative, an elected representative, who gets a salary of like I think that they gave themselves a pay raise I think he was making $175,000 a year, and he was complaining about, we haven't had a pay raise since 2008. Congress hasn't had a pay raise since 2008. $175,000 a year. It's like double the national average wages, I think. More than that, it's probably 2.5 times the national average wages.
Well, we got a lot of expenses and stuff.
Yeah, well, you got accounts that pay for those things. Obviously, you're not doing too bad.
Oh, the pay raise.
He's worth $30 million. He was not worth that when he started. So, don't get me on. AOC was doing the same thing when she first got into office. She said,
I can't afford an apartment in D.C. I can't afford it. I can't afford to live in it.
Don't hear her complain about that anymore, do you? All she talked about is, I'm going to sell my Tesla. I'm going to get rid of my Tesla. Because, you know, Elon Musk, orange man, bad. I don't hear about that anymore, do we? It's just one thing after another with these people. Let's go from one outrage to the next. So now the latest thing is this whole thing with, of course, we have the issues with Dan Crenshaw now. He's suing him for $150 million for defamation of character. I don't think Dan Crenshaw was injured $150 million worth. First of all, it's up to the courts to decide. I'm not a lawyer, but the alleged thing that's going on here is that, you know, Sean made some comments. Sean actually got on and posted the things that he did online with his lawyer, talked about what happened and how, and just what's happening there. He believes he's being threatened. Crenshaw made some backsided kind of loose innuendo remarks about his friends at Six, SEAL Team. He was implying SEAL Team Six, that he heard from them that something. Now, what does SEAL Team Six have anything to do with this whole thing, other than just? And I seriously doubt that Crenshaw. He might have one person there who talks to him. Maybe I don't know. But it seems weird that he would bring it up the way he did. This is kind of like saying, hey, Jeffrey Epstein, and not just Jeffrey Epstein that everybody's talking about. It's in the news, the one that everybody thinks of when you say Jeffrey Epstein. Oh, it was just a doctor, Jeffrey Epstein, out of somewhere. I didn't have time to figure that out. I'm referring to the whole thing with Jasmine Crockett. Now, these people are just end justifies the means type individuals. But why are you coming after a private individual? First of all, you're a public figure. Now, Sean Ryan is a public figure as well. But to come out and say something, and then to accuse the guy and sue the guy for defamation. Come on now. That's ridiculous. Now, I think Cash Patel actually has a defamation lawsuit out over some people, but that's a little different case. I'm not sure I follow what's going on there, and it may be just as bad for him to do that, but I don't know. I don't know the details on that case. I think he might have actually more of a case than the whole Crenshaw thing, because actually Sean was just asking questions, making suggestions about, you know, how did Dan Crenshaw get all this money, and of course then that's when the response was very threatening by Dan Crenshaw, in my opinion, which I think is just not the place of a representative. How does this guy keep getting elected? That's what I want to know. So. That's on that whole other thing. They get involved, they get soaked up with all the money, and they get in with the power brokers and elbows. That's how they stay in office for so long. You very rarely see someone who's been in office that long get primaried out. Now, having said all of that, I think it's time for Crenshaw to go. He doesn't have any place in a representative government as a representative, in my opinion. It's just my opinion. I'm not in Texas. I'm in Indiana. I don't know. You know, I can't vote for the guy. I can't vote against the guy. I would sooner vote for a Democrat than vote for that guy, just to get him out. Now, having said all that, the other thing that's happening is right now, too, I'm talking a little bit more about finances. The issue that we have, this Caleb Hammer guy. He is a guy who has people on his little show. It's become very popular, I guess. And he just basically confronts people with the stupid decisions that they've made. He'll have people on who are hugely in debt or hugely have serious financial issues, large credit card bills, all kinds of wacky, you know, the car loans, whatever it is. They're not making enough money to make their payments. They're way behind. Their budget is terrible. Their income is terrible. Sometimes their income is huge, and they still are in. You know, they're just overspending, living way beyond their means. Has them on his show, and he chews them out. Now, most of the time, the people he has on,
here's what I found,
are left wing liberals. I don't know why. Well, why this thing continues to think that I'm talking to it. so these now keep in mind, most of the time these people are they're usually females. I think about 60 to 70% of the people he has on are females who've gotten themselves into incredible weird debt situations, whether they, you know, they got student loans, they got car loans, all this stuff that they got, and they're taking vacations to Disneyland, spending $4,000 going down. It's just different things like that, and he's just asking them, you know, why are you, you know, and he doesn't hold back. He's not nice to them. Doesn't coddle them at all. He's meaner than Dave Ramsey by every stretch of the imagination. He gets on them, jumps all over them. Well, he's being called a left wing or a right wing alt right individual because of the tone that he uses, the way he talks to them. Now he claims he's not in any box. He's not left or right. He said nobody's gotten it right. Personally, I think the guy is a libertarian. He's a certain type of libertarian. There's, like I said, there's at least 12, and those are pretty broad definitions because there's every libertarian is different. I mean, just you could, if there's 30,000 libertarians in this country, there's probably 30,000 types of libertarians. That's what I'm saying. Probably 35,000. That's what I'm saying. And so this Caleb Hammer guy, now he's calling out fiscal responsibility. Now think about this. Because he's calling out fiscal responsibility and saying some people don't deserve to have government help because of the decisions that they're making, because they're just squandering it all and doing stupid things. They just don't deserve it. Some of them have literally said, "Yeah, I'm capable of working, but I just don't want to. I don't want to go to work. I don't feel like it." Then yeah, you don't get anything. It's you're able to work. You know you're able bodied. You know you can do it. You just want government funding. You know, you're done. You take you off the rolls. Because that's not the kind of person that the safety net was designed to help. Just somebody who just doesn't want to work. And yet still wants to go out and spend and not pay for anything. It's just that's ridiculous. And of course he jumps all over those kinds of people. And for that he's being called the alt-right. Because for some reason, fiscal responsibility, living within your means and holding yourself accountable for the way you're living, apparently, supposedly, now is some kind of right-wing thing. You'd think that would be a universal thing on both sides of the aisle here. But it's not. It is not at all. And it's part of the whole social mindset, the social mentality, a socialist mentality, the Marxist mentality, that we just go out and live out, you know, we just live a comfortable life. And somebody else pays for it. And we just do what we do and everybody gets paid because, you know, to each according to his ability, to each according to his need, to their need, from each according to their ability, to each according to their need, whatever it is. So you just go out there and you just work hard at whatever you want to do. And then they'll tell you what that is. They'll tell you what you want to do as the problem. They will assign you a job. And you're going to love it whether you like it or not. You're going to have nothing and be happy. That's what it amounts to. You will have nothing and you will be happy. There we go. So where do I see financially? What's happening? I think things are, I think we're if things continue on the way they are and they'll mess things up in the midterms, we are about to see some of the greatest days ahead of us with regard to productivity. I think in the next 4 years, the next 8 years, we're going to see some incredible boons in this, in our economy, in our personal situations, in just the quality of life in general. And a rising tide lifts all ships. I think that our nation and its prosperity tends to bring about prosperity in other parts of the world as well, even in the lowest forms of them. You almost never hear of any place right now. There's very few places in the world now where starvation is happening, mass starvation. 50 years ago, there were places where drought would hit and just masses of people would die. You don't hear about that now. You don't, unless it's because of a political war or something that's going on. For the most part, most places, there's very little, very few places on the planet now and on Earth where there's no drinking water. You can talk about the quality of the water, what they're putting in it all day long, with conspiracies and everything else, but there's water to be had. Even in places that were uninhabitable 50 years ago are being, you know, built up now. All of that is due to technology increase, economic increase, and most of that is because of what they would call fossil fuels, which are not fossil fuels at all, but they are oil-based fuels. We could talk more about the fossil fuel thing later on. That's more of a conspiracy thing, how it became, oh, we're burning dinosaurs. We're not burning dinosaurs. That's not what fossil fuels are. So that's what they claim. Or it's just not what we're doing here. In the meantime, folks, Shabbat Shalom. It is the end of the week, and time means tomorrow is Shabbat. So we will, as we move into Hanukkah next week, and of course Christmas coming up, which is interesting. 812-379-8778. Call, text, or write that number down so that you can remember it. When you have a thought, you can put it down. Call me. Folks, thanks for listening. Thanks for contributing with your thoughts and prayers. We will talk to you next week. In the meantime, God bless, and have a great rest of your weekend. It will be a great weekend. It's, we'll find lots of sales out there. Folks, take care. See ya.